Here's something I've always wanted to say. Greetings from Mar-a-Lago. Greetings from West Palm Beach. Greetings from Palm Beach. What in the heck? How's it going, everybody? I hope you had a weird week. I hope you had a weird weekend, just like I did. How was your... We'll start with this. Gypsy, how was your weekend?
Quiet. Very quiet. I'm certainly not in Mar-a-Lago. Yeah, it's just been quiet.
Okay, well, that's good. I'm actually a little jealous of that. I'm jealous, but I'm not jealous. I like, one of the things I liked about being a stand-up comic, especially when I first started, was the travel and discovering new places. I have been all over Florida. Except, I'll say this, I haven't been to really like Miami Beach proper. Mm-hmm. I haven't been down to the Keys, and I had not been to Palm Beach or West Palm Beach. It was a crazy eye opener. It was a really, really wild trip. I need to do it again.
Yeah. I almost died in West Palm Beach, so
of shame?
Oh, no. No, it was my first open ocean dive.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and a thunderstorm rolled up.
Oof.
And we came up with the dive leader, and the boat was nowhere to be found.
They literally did a horror movie about that.
I lived that horror movie. So, but I've been to the Keys, nothing but great experiences down there. One of my favorite places.
I want to talk about that. We should just dedicate an entire podcast to your scuba diving adventures. That's something that I'd want to, because we're already off track.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Here's the thing. I find it incredibly interesting. I'd love to scuba dive. I would totally dig that. However, we're on a bit of a, it's going to be a tight one today, because I got to catch a plane. I'm heading back to Los Angeles. I'll be in LA for a day. Then I'm going to Long Island. I'm going to be telling some jokes at Governor's Comedy Club. Then I'm going back to LA. Then I'm going to Albany on the first stop of the Deplorable Tour. It's all Albany,
New York.
Albany, New York, Cleveland,
that's my
Ohio.
Hometown.
Really?
Yeah. My whole family lives in that area.
That's fantastic.
Where we're from.
That's great. Well, I can drive by the old house.
There's several of them,
Leave some kind of gypsy trinket to know that the rest of your gypsy followers are still aware. Okay. So, big news. I don't want to forget this, because this is important too. Before we get to the Mar-a-Lago of it all and what's going on in politics, yada yada. I did it. I started a Patreon for the Loftus Party.
Dun, okay. Bah, bah.
Yes. So if you'd like to, and we'd love it. Here, I had the realization a couple weeks ago. I know we've been talking about it, and I've been hemming and hawing, and I just, like, there's, like, nothing ethically wrong with it or morally wrong with it, and I'm certainly okay with it. And it was really wonderful, because down in West Palm Beach and hanging out with Terrence Williams, and I met another social media influencer. Here's what, when I tell people about what the LoftusParty.com is doing, mm-hmm. they love it. They love it. Paul Hare figured out, I didn't realize that you can, whatever. He figured out some stuff. And so now it's the LoftusParty.com is looking more and more like what I always intended it to be. You know, geek culture, politics, beautiful people. There's some skin there. There's thoughts. It's interactive. It's this really, really weird thing. And there's nothing else like it. And the interactivity, when you get into, like, people can go and they can post their own stuff. And, you know, people are putting up recipes and people, it's cooler than I thought.
It's cooler than you thought. You were cool and you didn't even know it.
Exactly. I'm not even kidding you. And, like, I'm hanging out with, like, these huge, like, ginormo you know, conservative donors and fundraisers and all this stuff. And you, and I give them a brief description, and you can just see them like a switch flicks in their head, and it's wonderful. So I want to I want to do more, and I want to be more aggressive, and I want to be able to advertise, and I want to do better videos, and I want, you know, I want offices, the whole nine yards. I want to be able to pay contributors. I want all of it. So we're
all of it.
Yeah, so we're doing a Patreon, and I'll put up a video just as soon as I can on that to explain a little bit more. And if you donate this much, I mean, listen, you guys, you're going to get t-shirts. Like if you make, I don't know, I'm out of my league. I've never done this before. But if you make a ginormo contribution, yeah, I'm gonna hook you up. You're going to get your coffee mug. You're going to get a t-shirt.
But we don't decide what you're going to get. We give you choices.
And holy smokes, do we have a ton of choices? We have a ton of choices.
You it's can wonderful. Have a pair of panties if you want them.
That's right. With the Loftus Party logo right on the butt.
Yep.
Now here's the other weird thing. So we did at the Brea Improv, a lot of, you know, big conservatives out there and people that have like big Instagram, we can now like post that stuff on the Loftus Party. There's some really like fun, sexy, cool people, and we're able to put their stuff on the website. So it's fantastic. It's wonderful. And I met a bit of a social media influencer last night. This girl's name, I don't want to get it wrong, Audra Delay. Audra Delay.
Okay.
She's got tens of thousands of followers on Instagram and Twitter and what have you. And she's adorable, and she's smart, and she's worked on several campaigns, and she's a phenomenal artist. And like, boom, she got it right away. She got it right away because she's like a misfit, you know, like we are. You know, people always want to go, oh, so you're a Republican. Oh, you're a conservative. Oh, you're a libertarian. And like, I don't like being shoved in that box right out of the gate, because people, they make these assumptions. They think they know everything about you. And that's where, like, not to toot our own horn here, but that's what makes the Loftus Party cool. It's like there's everything. There's video games. There's TNA. It's wonderful. We're not passing judgment. We just, here's the thing that unites us. We don't think big government is the answer. That's about it.
We just all want to do our own thing.
Exactly. And it's hard to corral a bunch of people who just want to do their own thing. However, the website is, it's fun to watch it evolve. It's mm-hmm. fun to just fold in new stuff and meet new people. So I believe Audra is going to start contributing. She does these chalk drawings. You know those sidewalk artists?
Mm-hmm.
Do... these amazing, she does these amazing chalk drawing pieces. She does like all kinds of different artwork. It's fantastic. And then she's also like a babe for Trump. And then she's also, you know, on this governor's board. It's insane. It's wonderful. So there's more of us out there. It's like in that movie, Happy Feet, about the dancing penguin, and he thought he was the only dancing penguin, and then he starts meeting other penguins that can dance, and he's all
right.
That's how I feel.
We're gonna get our own little group of penguins.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And dance our way to amazingness. So it's Patreon, and I think the easiest way to say it is like Patreon/TheLoftusParty. The page is open. We're taking contributions, and we really, really, really would appreciate your help. And the money's not going to go to waste. I need to be abundantly clear on that. We're going to get some advertisements. We're going to grow the website. We're going to increase the production value. We're going to put some money in the pockets of people who are contributing. There's a million ways to spend it, and that is. That was the big eye-opening thing down here in West Palm, an insane, insane little area of the United States. They had like this stretch of Palm Beach, and it was like Rodeo Drive. Just so much money, so much money. It's disgusting and wonderful at the same time, and you realize that the American dream is alive and well, and a big hunk of it is residing in Palm Beach, Florida. There's right. All these insane, like you meet all these insanely wealthy people who they just did it. They dug in, they had a vision, they worked really hard, they communicated, and
so, the Democrats hate them.
Don't they, though?
But have you seen what they're doing to Howard Schultz this week?
You know what? I'm kind of on the Howard Schultz bandwagon. At first, I wanted to do it just to kind of be like neener in your face. But like, legitimately, like, leave Howard alone. Like, I'm not going to vote for the guy. But like, damn, what else have they done to him?
No, it was just the whole, like, okay, first of all, oh, this billionaire, look what he just thinks he can buy an election. And he gets on TV and goes, wait a minute, I grew up in the projects in New York City. I'm a self-made man. I represent the American dream. Yeah. And then they're like, you grew up in the projects. You didn't build that. Like, you can't win.
You really can't. I saw some really some snarky tweets like that. Hey, the projects were paid for by taxpayers. You're a product of socialism. Without the it's like, geez.
It's just like, oh, geez.
I'm sorry I didn't. But I mean, I wasn't raised in a cardboard box out in the middle of the woods.
You're supposed to celebrate people like him and Ben Carson, who came from literally nothing and have done amazing things. You're not supposed to tell him, well, you didn't build that.
The left has lost its mind. I really, and this is the other weird thing, and maybe it's just like me in the moment and being all, you know, reflective on everything. But it's like, I feel actually a little a little sorry for some of my friends that are Democrats, because they have to look at their party and just go, what happened? Like, what happened?
You know how they make Howard Schultz go away, right?
No, what are they going to do?
And people like him. Even Michael Bloomberg is out there saying they've lost their minds. He took a swipe at Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez earlier this week.
Good.
You guys, good. Your successful donors are telling you you need to moderate. Because the big problem with the left is they don't know when they've gone too far. They never
really
drew
don't.
A box around it. We did. With white supremacists, with Reagan back in the day? Like, no, you guys don't belong here. We're not going to embrace you. They embrace these radicals and are being dragged to the left and leaving people behind.
It's going to be wild to watch the process unfold because, you know, now Cory Booker's in there.
Oh, my God.
And Kamala
is the video?
Oh, my video? My hilarious video?
No. Cory Booker's announcement video.
Oh, I missed it.
Do yourself a favor. Go back and watch it. It's touching.
That guy. My whole thing, I don't know if you've seen the video that I put up at the Loftus Party YouTube channel, which I swear to you, I'm like a junkie. I go and I look at that thing and I feel so good. I feel so good. The subscriptions are just like ba-boom. Ba-boom. It's just growing and it's so fun to watch. My whole thing with him was just like his insane overacting. And it's great. It's so wonderful to watch because you can tell he thinks he's good. You can tell he thinks he's like, oh, they're buying it. They are buying it. Look how earnest I am with my eyebrows all furled up.
They are all so robotic.
Oh, from Elizabeth Warren's, let me grab me a beer. Hey, there's my husband, my loving husband. They are. They literally are. They're making calculations in their brains like Data from Star Trek. Like, oh, the common man likes beer. Did you see like Hillebrand?
Hillebrand? That was hysterical.
Like, oh, we found a sledding hill. So we spontaneously decided to sled. Like, yeah, That was so spontaneous. It's just, it's
laughable. And then I saw her talking in Iowa.
No, what was that?
She was talking to some kind of activists in Iowa when she visited around the time she marched with those horrid ladies in that anti-Trump march that they like to say is about women but isn't about women at all.
Yeah.
So she went and marched with them in Iowa, and then she was speaking to donors. And literally, even her hand motions were scripted. Like, you thought Hillary was bad? Jill Brand made her look good.
You know who else is bad at that? Watch O'Rourke. That
oh,
dude,
my God.
The one they call Beto. His arm movements are so bizarre. They are so bizarre. And it's like someone is coaching him. Make sure you use your arm. Make sure you use your arm.
Oh, my God.
It's disturbing.
Once you start looking at it,
you can't stop seeing it.
But he skateboards.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's so cool. I bet he wishes he was skateboarding when he got in that accident.
Right. No, but I mean, oh dear Lord. And then I read yesterday, and this is interesting, Joe Biden's not sure he's going to run because they're so crazy.
I really, I don't expect Joe Biden to run either. I really don't. He wants to run,
but he's looking at how far left the base is and going, I could probably get a lot of independents to vote for me, but I can't get my own primary voters to vote for me.
Yeah. Well, and I'm wondering, I don't know. I don't know if there's maybe some dirt on Joe Biden where he's going to, you know, make a lot of noise, blah, 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 blah. But that is, you just touched on a very, very scary thing. It's like the Democrats, the old school Democrats who have gone the way of the dinosaur, and there's a handful of them left, and they don't recognize their own party, and it's socialism is insanely popular with, like young people, like college kids.
Yeah, that's because they don't know anything.
Exactly.
I think everybody who likes that, we should do a fully funded government paid trip down to Venezuela.
Oh, I'd love that. I would love that.
I want to send Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez as part of the delegation to support the new interim president, just so she can see what she's gunning for.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the atomic bomb with dealing with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez or with Kamala Harris or with Bernie Sanders. All of them is the Venezuela of it all. However, the issue that I'm looking at is like, okay, so socialism is so it's popular now because they don't know any different. And I always get concerned out when you go like, hey, you know, socialism sucks, and you just like attack something like that. Like, I dig that whole hashtag. I dig like Turning Point USA, and I dig, you know, the people that are doing that, and then they're being aggressive. However, you get that pushback. You know, if I'm a kid and I'm like, oh, you know what, socialism would work, and then somebody just comes up and goes, socialism sucks, then you just go, okay, that dude is the enemy. That dude is the enemy, and I'm never going to listen to anything that he says. Now, it's a useful tool, and I'm not talking smack. Charlie Kirk and those cats at Turning Point are doing awesome. PragerU, it's doing awesome, all of it. But that's what we're trying to do with the Loftus Party, is to be like, I want to be that toe in the water. I want to be that website where some kid goes, like, wow, there's a smoking hot chick in a red, white, and blue thong bikini. What's up here? Oh, my gosh. Check this out. They reviewed that new video game, Anthem. I love that game. I wonder what this guy thinks. Oh, here's an article about some people starving to death in Venezuela. Oh, whoa. That's really what we're trying to do.
Yep.
I want to be that thing, and I do it on stage. And it's wild to see like how like the universe works and stuff. But like when I go on stage, I don't just go up and go, you know, I voted for Trump because, you know. I go, you start making jokes, you start making fun of the PC culture, you start making a little bit of fun of socialism, and then they're on your side and everybody's laughing, and then you're like, yeah, I voted for Trump because I didn't want to, and then they can't, it's too late, they can't hate you. They've already decided they like you and your little comedy act. That's what we're doing. And I think culturally, and something that can actually shift the dial a little bit, I'm giving away the secret sauce. But that's what it's all about. There are cool people amongst us, and I want them to contribute to the Loftus Party. If you're a listener, you can do it. You guys know that. You listen to the podcast. Make a post. Post something, a cool YouTube video, what have you. Okay.
You know what I'm loving about all of this election season stuff thus far? I do believe at some point I'm probably going to mute the 2020 election hashtag because I'll just be that sick of it. But I am loving all the Oppo drops. They're early, but they're great.
What do we got going on?
A shirtless Bernie Sanders singing with a bunch of Ruskies half drunk.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
That was great.
It's like he's in some weird nudist sweat lodge, and then they start singing, "This land is your land."
Yep.
Really, really off-putting. I don't care for that.
It's like, ew. And then you have Willie Brown come out and essentially say, "Kamala Harris would be nothing if she hadn't banged me."
Yeah.
So the hashtag horizontal Harris has been born.
That's hilarious.
You have her talking about poor people and sending parents to jail when their children are truant, talking about her being the stick and the school having the carrots.
Yep.
I mean, her mentality is just like, wow, if you really think that way, you should be in charge of nothing.
It's
nothing.
And then I was talking to Terrence, right? Terrence Williams.
Mm-hmm.
And like, she withheld a bunch of evidence that would have gotten people out of jail.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's,
no, she's not a nice person at all.
Not at all. Mm-mm. And it's like, why isn't she in jail? Why isn't she up on charges? What was she like, the DA or something in San Francisco?
She was the attorney general of your state.
Oh, it's California is so messed up. California is so messed up. I can't even. But the mask is off. I kind of want to save that for the big closer of this podcast. The mask is off the Democratic Party. We'll get to that. I want to just quickly get through the Mar-a-Lago of it all.
Okay.
And then we'll talk about, I heard it was tacky. Like, you hear people go, oh, Trump has no sense of style. It's all tacky and it's all gold and this and that and the other thing. We rolled up onto Mar-a-Lago, and I'll tell you this right now. I'll tell you this, Secret Service, they ain't joking. They ain't joking. Security is not joking. It took us a while to get through. Mm-hmm. Lots of dudes with earpieces, and they were looking at it. Actually, it makes me feel good about, okay, the president is definitely safe in Mar-a-Lago. I will say this. It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. You can take photos on the outside, but they ask that you don't take photos once you get in. So
why?
I don't know why. Maybe it's... This is like the fiction writer in me, like if I were to write a book about an assassin, if enough people had pictures of Mar-a-Lago on the inside, maybe there's a way, maybe you could get it online. Maybe you could figure out where the residency is and you could map out a plan of like, we'll go.
Oh,
into
you think
this.
It's just because he stays there and he's the president, not because they just never want you to take pictures inside.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I think that's what it is. I really do.
Okay.
I mean, but how hard would it be? I mean, I guess you could kind of figure out the floor plan just by renting a helicopter. I don't know. I don't want to give anybody any ideas. But I thought it wasn't tacky and it was tasteful and it was like a timeless. It was like a classic. It was a wonderful. So we did this event last night,
mm-hmm.
and it was just off the rails. I've done a lot of corporate events. I've done a lot of private parties in my, you know, my travels as a stand-up. This guy, and I wish his name is PJ, and he put together this fundraiser, and he's going, man. This guy's off to the races. He's raising money for veterans who are struggling with like substance abuse,
mm-hmm.
addiction, suicide. So he's up and running. He's going. Now, this dude threw a giant event at Mar-a-Lago last night. And this guy, he's a retired New York City fire guy. Like, that's like, he's not some big money dude. He just, he lives in Florida, and he's just like, I want to do something. And he got fired up. He got all these people involved. He's raising all this money. It's a great cause. It was a huge event last night. It's the first time he's put on something like this. And it was amazing, and it was wonderful. And it's one of the things that really, you get inspired just by being a part of it. Like, wow, look at what this guy did. He just tried. He just applied himself, and he tried. And so that's, you know, that goes to the Patreon of it all, and how we want to try to change the culture and make an impact with the Loftus Party and blah, 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 blah. But this dude, oh my goodness, Gypsy, there was a lot of hope in the room last night. And I'm not being melodramatic here. I'm just calling it like it is. This guy, PJ, was there on 9/11. At New York Fire Department, watched his buddies die. He was there at Ground Zero. He gets through that. Like a year later, he finds out his 5-year-old son has leukemia.
Wow.
2 years later, his son dies. The disease takes him. And this guy, really sweet, he's the sweetest guy in the world. He's like this big, like a giant pug dog. It went to a really, really, really dark place. And then I think he must have retired from the fire department in New York. And a lot of those guys, they do, like the retired cops, they do security. They start like little, you know, private security things. So he was doing security for Kid Rock. And he was in Cleveland when you were, you know, when you went for the Republican National blah, blah, blah. Okay, so he is, that same night, Kid Rock is doing an event, okay? So he's wrangling Kid Rock. Every cop and their mother is making sure nothing happens at the Republican, you know, convention.
Mm-hmm.
So someone comes and knocks on his window, and they're like, there's a guy up on the bridge. I think they were telling him to move his car, because above him, there was a guy about to jump off a bridge.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And he gets on his walkie-talkie because he knows what's up and what channel to use. And there's no cops around. They're all at the convention and doing other things. You know, it's a very tight. So this guy, he's supposed to get Kid Rock in his car. He's got a Suburban. He wheels out of there, goes up to the bridge and talks to this guy, this vet, who was struggling with substance abuse, was suicidal, and he's up there for like a half an hour talking to this guy, and in a really beautiful moment, PJ is telling this vet who's going to kill himself, like, what happened to him, you know? It's like, it is tough, man. 9/11, my friends, all this death, my kid, and he's like, I'm getting misty eyed just thinking about it. PJ's like, I could use a hug. Like, it's, my life is really crappy. I'm in a dark place. I could use a, so instead of killing himself, this vet goes and wraps up PJ to take away his pain. And that's when PJ's like, it all just clicked. It all just clicked. I got to give back. I got to help these guys out. And since then, he's just been like a bat out of hell, just raising money. Doing like last night at Mar-a-Lago, it was nuts. They had speakers going up there, like other New York fire guys telling their stories, and there was a sports agent. He was like Magic Johnson's agent and Dennis Rodman's agent and all these big muckety mucks in the sports world. He's talking about his substance abuse and his battle with pain pills and how he finally got cleaned up, and it was just, and then selfishly, like, I'm sitting there having my dinner, and I'm listening to this, and it's like, it's just, it's beautiful, but it's sad and it's crushing. And then like, and I'm gonna go tell jokes. It's like, I can't follow the despair with a glimmer of hope. So thank God they had like this George Michael impersonator.
And you're like,
yes, yes. This is when it got a little surreal. So there's a George Michael impersonator. And you know it's a George Michael impersonator because you see the guy walking in and you're like, holy smoke, that's George Michael from 1989.
Except he's dead.
Right? And this guy goes up there and he belts it out. He's got a great voice. So all these people who have been, you know, bummed out and inspired and clapping and standing for the flag and listening to these heartbreaking stories and these stories of hope, George Michael comes back from the dead and starts belting out his greatest hits.
Did he do anything from Wham?
Yes, he did.
Wow.
Wake me up before you go. Oh, yeah. He crushed it.
God.
He did. Listen, George Michael was a big star. That guy had some good tunes. And you're like, yeah. So, and then this James Brown band went up. It was pandemonium. The evening was running late. And then PJ's like, oh, my gosh, you haven't even gone on yet. You haven't gone on yet. So they're trying. And I'm like, listen, I don't need to. I just want this evening to be a success. I want to raise a lot of money. So he gets mad. And they make sure I go on stage, and people are bummed out because there's no more James Brown or George Michael. I did a couple of jokes, people laughed, and it was just a wild evening. And then like the Shondells came up on stage as I was up there. It was pandemonium. It was fun. It was an insane first trip to Mar-a-Lago. The president did not stop by. That was the big bummer. Everybody thought the president was gonna show up.
Well, he's got a little bit going on.
He is busy.
He's a busy, busy man.
He is busy, but I gotta tell you, I was a little bummed out. You know, at any moment you were expecting, you know, that the fanfare to play and the president to go in. But I wore a suit. I think I looked pretty good. I took some pictures outside. I did make some friends down here, and that was cool. It was a good trip. I enjoyed it. I would do it again in a heartbeat. If this charity, it's Vleve, VELEVE, I believe. If PJ or anyone from Mar-a-Lago ever wants to have me back down, I'll drop everything and I'll do it. It was a wonderful event. A lot of fun was had. We raised a lot of money for awareness and to try to help, you know, these vets who are dealing with whatever. It was wonderful. And then, oh my gosh, Gypsy, after that there was an after party. We went to this ginormo house right on the ocean. It was something out of a dream. I did take some pictures of this place, but they had lights, so the ocean was lit up. Like you would stand on the back and they had this rolling lawn all the way out to the ocean, and it's really, really dark out, but like the ocean was glowing. It was glowing, and as the waves would come in, it was the coolest thing I had ever seen. And it was wonderful.
Did
and
you
it was
know awesome. Whose house it was?
I met the person on the way out. I met the person on the way out.
So not like famous that anyone would know.
No, well, everyone down here, everyone, it's crazy. I don't want to like say names or anything, because like you never know like who's laying low or what people want to know about this and that and the other thing. But like there's so much. It's a very strange place. Like when you're new, remember there was a Dr. Gina. I've been on her show a few times when she was doing that. She was in San Diego. I ran into her, and that's, I love it. I love like being at a crazy event. You run into somebody, you know. I ran into Dr. Gina. And she was giving me the inside scoop because she's kind of new down here, right? She and her husband moved out, and I didn't realize, and I felt horrible about this. Sorry, Dr. Gina. Like, she works for the president. She's on his media relations team.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah, because I'm like, I've seen you a bunch on Fox lately, and I think I might have offended her a little bit. She's like, yeah, I work for the president. And she showed me all these pictures. She's been working with the Trump team for a long, long time, and now, like, if they have, she's like a messaging person. They're like, okay, somebody has to go on CNN, and they'll, like, Dr. Gina, can you go? Somebody has to go on Good Morning Tel Aviv or Good Morning Jerusalem. So she does that, and it's a weird, there's a lot of new money down here, there's a lot of old money down here, it's like a social, political thing, and fitting in, and going to the right parties, and knowing the right people. I think I would find that exhausting, but...
It sounds very tiring.
Yeah, but it's very cool. It's very cool, and it was quite an event. And I'm staying at a lovely guest house that is just that I'm not going to mention that. This person was very generous and let me use the house, which is just like the guest house.
Mm-hmm.
If I were to pick this thing up, if I were to pick up the guest house and plop it in my neighborhood of California, $8 million. $8 million easy.
It's only $3 million in Palm Beach.
I don't know. I don't know what it was here, but it's on the inner coastal waterways, and it's just glorious and beautiful. And there's no state taxes.
So anyway, that's true.
That is that's the Mar-a-Lago story. I didn't meet the president. I didn't meet anybody from the family. But that'll happen later on. We should close with this. We'll got 7 minutes just to talk about. The Democrats like really losing their minds, and not like I guess it is comedic in a way, but in there was like a real moment for me the other night when it was about the thing going on in Virginia with the abortions and in New York with the abortion legislation. I was just shocked.
They're just such liars.
Yes.
Here's the thing, guys. Here's the thing. Oh, my God, because Kavanaugh, Roe v. Wade, it's going to be overturned. No, it's not. No, it's not. Not even those of us who think it should be and it should go back to the states really believe that's going to happen. So they're using this fear-mongering about Kavanaugh to actually expand access to the procedure, literally to the point where New York, and this is the most disturbing thing to me, has redefined what a person is.
It's so ghoulish and horrifying and beyond belief. Like, I literally, like, when somebody posted the video of everybody in New York applauding when they passed the bill.
Yeah.
And you're like, that can't be right. This has to be fake. That's not really what happened. And so I kind of like compartmentalized it and didn't really react to it. Because I'm like, there's no way that can be right. There's
he
no
lit
way.
Up buildings pink.
Yeah. It's. Do you know,
New York now, if you assault a pregnant woman and kill the baby or hurt the baby, you can't be charged because the baby is not a person until it is born.
It is. It's horrifying. It's really like I'm still struggling to wrap my brain around it. I really am. And then the Virginia thing happened, and you're like, this is happening. This is like a real thing that's happening. And I think they've gone too far. It's a tipping point, I believe, for the nation. You can't like even the
you
most
you can't vote for that.
You can't.
You can't.
And then if you go down, oh, something's chiming. That's a lovely telephone ring here in the guest house. It's like Tinkerbell is calling on line one. Which, but like, you can see how they're lying about everything. It's like, oh, we just want common sense gun laws. No, you don't. You want to take all the guns. Oh, we just want abortion to be legal. Okay, you want to be able to kill babies. like 9 months into it.
Yeah, no, that's not okay.
Oh, we just want common sense taxes. No, you want full-on socialism. We just want single payer. No, you want to get rid of the insurance industry and all our choices. They literally, it's like the Soviet Union. They want the old Soviet Union in America, and you can't argue that they don't.
But here's the thing: what they have always been good at, what they have always been good at, and I wrote about this, what, 2 years ago? Don't call them liberals; they're actually Bolsheviks.
Yeah, I remember that.
There's nothing liberal about the Democrat Party at this point. Nothing. No. Not a thing. And they're great at marketing. They have completely changed what the word liberal means, which irritates me. But they name it Medicare for All. People like Medicaid, and people want people to have health care, so there's a pretty title. They name it a Green New Deal. Who doesn't care about the environment? Never mind, inherent in that document is the nationalization of every industry we have.
Yeah.
I mean, like, such pretty names for the Reproductive Health Act. Really? It's not about health or safety, because now unlicensed providers can do it.
Yeah. Hold on. Like, hold on. One second. One second. I just had to hang up on Tinkerbell. It's crazy.
Well, no, they've just I was referencing that article earlier, yeah. And I find it very, very, like, nearly hysterical. Some of these quotes. This is from Axios. Mike Allen. What's happening? Michael Bloomberg and former Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe, each of whom were virtual locks to run for president, are having serious second thoughts after watching the Democrats embrace Medicare for All, big tax increases, and the Green New Deal. Joe Biden, who still wants to run, is being advised to delay any plans to see how this lurch to the left plays out.
I'm, in a weird way, I'm embracing it. Like, let them go. Just keep giving them more rope. Keep giving them more rope, because they're going to get tripped up on it.
Because I mean, I literally have apolitical friends in New York who are seeing this and going, and they're like waking up, like, what happened to my state? I'm like, really? Yeah. Have you been asleep?
They have been. It's like everything else. You know, it's like, oh, when they came for my friend, I wasn't worried. When they came for the other guy, I wasn't worried. And then they came for me. It's like, you can pretend like it's not happening. You can pretend, oh yeah, that's another little tax. That's another little tax. I'm doing okay. That's another little tax. And then all of a sudden, it's the straw that broke the camel's back. Check this out. Check this out. Somebody in California was looking at all the gas taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And they found out that there's like 20 cents. I think it's like 20 cents per gallon in an old gas tax that just never went away. And it's been on. We've been paying it in California for years and years and years, and no one knows where the money's going.
Well, you're not going to get rid of it.
I'm sure they won't, but it's just good to know, how are they squandering your money? How exactly?
They're taking it, and they don't even know what they're doing with it.
Exactly. And then if you look at all these social programs, and here's the quote that we'll leave you with. I think it's a Milton Friedman. Like, all the time, this will help you when you talk politics with your Democratic friends. Don't judge. People make the mistake of doing this all the time. And when I get into conversations, I kind of do it too. Don't judge the success of a program on its intentions.
No.
Right? Either it's working or it's not. All these programs that the Democrats and the liberals do, they always have wonderful intentions. They always wrap them up like giant Christmas presents. However, if it costs way too much money and you're not getting the results that you want and you're not really helping people, you got to cut that program and do it a different way. So, I really, that one hit home for me. Don't judge a program on its intentions. Judge it on its results.
And you have to remember another Friedman quote: there is nothing more permanent than a temporary government program.
That's a great one. Mm-hmm. That's a great one. Okay, I got to jump off of here. I got to go to the airport and get my Loftus Party butt back to Los Angeles. So a big recap, watch out for the Democrats. They're straight up socialists now. The mask is off.
Who kill babies?
Oh my gosh! And literally want socialism, like literally want socialism, and the government to run every aspect of your life. That's bad. We don't like that. We love Mar-a-Lago. We're a little bummed out that we didn't meet the president, and we have a Patreon channel. We have a Patreon page. We're accepting donations, any amount. You guys are awesome. You know what's up. And so, unfortunately, you'll probably be hearing about this on the next few podcasts as I come in with other dates. The Deplorable Show, we kick off on February 15th. We don't kick off. We continue the tour. Brea was sold out. Brea was a huge success. Now we're going to Albany, Cleveland, and Nashville. There's going to be some special guests popping in. I don't want to say it on the air. Some wonderful things might be happening next week while I'm in New York. That's all I'm going to say. So go to loftusparty.com, sign in, and once you make your account, you can start posting, and we'll continue the conversation over there. You guys are wonderful. Thanks for subscribing to this podcast. If you get a chance, go to iTunes and start divvying out the stars. We love it. I will talk to you guys next week. And, no mention of the Super Bowl. No mention. But, of course, I just ruined that because I mentioned it. All right, we'll talk later, you guys.